Bible's Mark chapter number 12. Mark chapter number 12. I was talking about getting on the internet and watching some YouTube. I know it's old or something, but I kept seeing a little thing on my phone saying I had 150 things in this thing and I had 160 things in this thing, and I thought, what am I gathering in this? So I got a couple weeks ago, I got punching it and trying to figure out what was going on in it, and it was those YouTube things. And I got into watching different things about ministries. And I was watching this one. They had this one guy, he called himself an apostle, David Taylor. He's going through a deposition online on that, and I was watching his deposition. And he... quote-unquote apostle, and the lawyer was asking him about his 1040, his IRS, things he'd put on there, and he had over $30,000 in suits. He got Gucci, I guess is how you say it. Some of you laugh at me. No, Gucci suits, $6,000, and he said, I just don't go to Macy's. That's just not the type of suits I wear. And then he was talking about, and of course he's on there bumming from the poor, the wretched, the disabled. And he's bumming money from them for his ministry. And they'd ask him questions, say, well, the board makes that decision. Well, who sits on the board? Well, me and my wife. Well, who else? Well, lots of people. Who? Well, when's the last time you had, well, I don't know. I don't know anybody else who sits on there. Then he made this statement where they asked him, said, well, you say you give millions back into the ministry. How do you give millions in the ministry? Because we don't see it reported. He said, well, it's the potential what I could be if I wasn't here in the ministry. I could be a chef and I could be making millions and millions of dollars, so I figure I'd give millions back to the ministry. And he was counting that off on his IRS. And he, when someone would give him a check to the ministry, he would say, well, I told him just write to the ministry, so because I didn't have him write to me, I just counted that on my taxes as a gift to the church. And so in the ministry. But my point is here he was, he had like Bentleys and Mercedes and all these things. And of course you saw several, and I watched Jesse, whatever his name is, from Louisiana, begging for the plane, a 50-some million dollar plane for his fourth plane. And I watched several of the TJ Brakes or Jakes or whatever his name is, Kenneth Copeland and Creflo Dollar and all those different ones. And I looked at the 10 most richest pastors, and other than Billy Graham, everybody else was charismatic. And every one of them, except one, was black. Every one of them was going into these communities and begging all the poor and blind and so forth. Now, I was watching Benny Hinn's nephew. He was giving an interview, and he worked with Benny Hinn. He was talking about, he said, what they do is you support their lavish lifestyles. He said, for instance, the place I enjoyed staying most, we paid $25,900 a night for the motel. $25,900 a night for the motel. And yet, on the way where they stopped, their next stop was going into India, had 1 million people there, and they were begging every cent they could get out of those people to pay for that. I saw where Joyce Myers, they was talking about an issue of a $23,000 toilet. And it gets Jimmy Swaggart. I was watching an issue on him, some of these I didn't ever know, but I knew you'd know all those names. And I was thinking, these people, they've got so much to answer for one of these days that they have stole. And they have taken advantage of people that's sick. And several had their interviews where their parents or moms or aunts or somebody gave all their fortune away because they'd been promised that they could heal them, and then they yet die of the disease. And it gets to be a joke and a mimic. And I was watching where NBC and some of them would put their own employees up there, and they would act like they got healed. And one was Benny Hinn. He lined up 25 wheelchairs, and he act like he healed this woman from polio, and he made a big deal out of healing her from polio in front of everybody. Come find out she never had polio in her life. His excuse was, well, I'm human. Sometimes I make a mistake every now and then. But it gets to be a gimmick. They play on the psyche. They play on the things. Begin reading with me in Mark chapter 12, and the Bible says this in verse 38. And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feast, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense makes long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation. And Jesus set over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which made a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Tonight I want to share with you a thought or two on this widow lady. Some of you may remember not long ago, it's been a little while ago, but Ted Turner. Now, as younger people probably won't even know who Ted Turner is, but Ted Turner, he made a $1 billion contribution to the United Nations. Anybody remember when he did that? And man, they had him on every station, and he was such a hero for giving $1 billion to the United Nations. He called a press conference and made a big deal out of it, and all the press picked it up. And of course, it was just $1 billion out of many billions that he had. The amazing thing is, this widow woman has been preached and broadcasted much more than he has. People still know about her. Most people have forgotten about Ted Turner. And one of these days, he'll have his own. But anyway, getting back to this, I want you to know that tonight I'm not preaching about money, even though I realize money is essential. It's something that we need for our essential things, clothing, home, food, and all those things. But I do know that it's overrated, because most of us could do without a lot of what we do. Then some of us get in situations where we overspend. We spend much more than what we should. And so therefore we run into problems because we wonder why we don't have enough. But you've got to understand that you've got to be wise in that it can be used for great good. We know that. You can feed the hungry and do things. Good Samaritan used his money to stop, help somebody that was in need. But we also know it can be used for great evil. The Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. We also realize that it can lead to bondage. People can be slaves to their money. They can actually, some of the richest people I knew were most enslaved of their money than anybody I knew. You would think they have money and they wouldn't care. But I know people that was millionaires, multimillionaires, and yet they thought they lost $5 somewhere. They couldn't sleep at night. And it's crazy. We know it can bring glory to God. That's why God tells us that we are to bring it in storehouse. Somebody said, well, God doesn't care about the money. Well, Jesus cared about the money. He sat there and watched as they put it in. He did care about how people were putting it in. He cared about what was going on. Now, somebody said, well, preacher, what are we supposed to do? The Bible teaches us, and some people says, well, I've never been taught to tithe. Well, somebody should have taught you. Some people says, well, I don't understand tithing. Some people says, well, I think that's an Old Testament thing, but the truth of the matter is, it was before the law, during the law, and even in the New Testament. It all tells us to bring as God has blessed us and proportionally. Somebody said, well, how much? Well, if you don't know how much, a good part to start is 10%. You find that taught several times throughout the Bible. Also, there's a proper place to take it. Now, listen to me. It's not to send it to all these TV evangelists. The Bible doesn't command you to do that. It commands you in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, that you bring it on first day of the week here in the house of God. If this is where you belong to, this is where your tithes and offerings go. If you belong somewhere else, that's where your tithes and offerings go. And so where you're coming, where you're part of the service, that's where your tithes and offerings come. And by the way, you should have a voice in how they're spent. Essentially, I try my best to pay for just the essential cost of what it cost us. But if there's something unusual going to come up, or something great, or something we're going to have to take on, or money, or buy something new, I try my best to always have the church to vote on it, so you know. I try to be forthcoming in it. I try not to hide anything. If we have something even over at school, a fundraiser or something over at school, I always try to divulge to you exactly how much we make. I don't want anybody thinking that we're taking it and doing something else with it. I want to try to tell you what we do with it, and I want to try to answer for it. Here I try my best not to touch any money. I try to have somebody else to count the money. I try not to touch the money. And I try to be wise. I try to use it for things that God will get glory out of. Chris was talking to me this week, and she was talking about this one church that had spent all this money on fireworks and all this stuff. You know, I don't see anything wrong with fireworks, but it's just not something that tithes and offerings ought to be paying for, in my opinion. I just don't think, if, you know, we ask ourselves what Jesus would do. I don't think Jesus, if he was sitting here, I don't think he'd say, listen, you need to take your money and you need to put it up in the air and sparkles. Right. Now, if people in the church want to buy it and go out here and sit in your house and watch it as a community, I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, our money should be spent on the essentials of running the church and then preaching the gospel. Trying to get it out, supporting missionaries, supporting those who come through, that's going out. You know, somebody said, why do you always try to give good to the missionaries that come through? I tell you why. Because I really value somebody gives their life up to go out and preach the gospel in another country. And they leave family, they leave friends, they leave all their possessions, and they go out there. And when they come through here, I want to try to be a blessing to those people. I want to try to encourage those people to keep going on. Amen. And so anyway, we're to give it proportionally. We're also to give it in the proper place. And we're to give it perpetually. In other words, there's a set time and place to do it. You know, some people sometimes, I've met a woman one time. She's sitting back where Caleb and Kim sitting there. And I walked by and she introduced herself as a member of the church. I hadn't seen her. And I'd been pastoring for over 18 years and she'd never been at church. And she said, well, I just hadn't been here, but I'm a member of the church. My thought was, you're not much of a member. Where would the church be if it's dependent upon your tithes and offerings to support it? And, you know, we have to be wise in those things. But we have to have the right motive when we deal with our money in the church. We have to be thankful. We have to be cheerful. We have to be liberal when we need to and sacrificial when we need to. Sometimes there's things that comes up. We have to take an offering up, and we ought to give. We ought to do the things that we need to do. Now, let me say this. And I'll get off this because that's not what I'm preaching on. The tithe is taught to us to understand that God owns everything. And when anything gets so more important to you than the tithe, then there's an issue. But I was telling you about this one guy. I was watching his deposition. Now, he was taking and he was buying all these $30,000 suits and all these things. Ben spent $30,000 on his suits and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And he bought a $2.8 million extra home just to help train some people in ministry, even though he couldn't tell who was that. A $2.8 million. But get this. His salary was $24,000. That was his salary from the church. And yet, he bought all these things. My point is that he was taking the ministry funds and doing this, and yet he was going out here, and I watched him on video, and he was going out begging and bumming money from everybody and under all these false pretenses. Now, we need to understand that the tithe is the Lord's, and everything we have is because of him, and it is his. But there's four things I want you to see about this woman that stands out. It's not the amount of money that impresses God. Now, you got to understand, in the women's court, when you study the women's court, they had 13. They had 13, it looked like trumpet, sort of like shaped like a trumpet, vases or big things that they would collect treasury. Each one of them had a purpose. One was a treasury tax, one was this, one was that, one was for wood, one was for sacrifices, and different things. And they would come in and they would put their money in the treasury. They would drop it down. It's a big old metal, a vase. And what they would do is, when you put a lot of money in there, it would clang because it would be money in you. And when the rich people would come, they'd put their money in and make big sounds, and everybody would be impressed when they'd hear that big sound. Well, Jesus just got through telling about those who were skimming and scamming. And can I say, tell you this? Now listen to me very carefully. I want you to get this and it'll save you. When you see all this bunch that is nothing but con artists running around claiming to have the gifts of the apostles, you stay away from those people. What you need to understand is those were for a time and they're not now. And all this healing stuff that they're running around claiming in their name and all this money that they're making themselves rich off these healing pretenses, you better stay away from those people. Those people are nothing but people that takes advantage of poor. Did you ever notice the communities they go into? They take advantage of simple-minded, the poor, the wretched. And look at their congregations. They're full of superstitions. And they're easily manipulated. They go to widows and they try to suck widows in. It's amazing. I was watching Robert Tilton and how his empire failed because he was caught being such a con artist. And now he meets, and he's got about five or six people he meets with down in Texas in his church now. And he's in a motel and he rents out a room. That's all he got. And one time he had 20-some thousand. I was watching all these big mega churches and things that's going on behind the scene. But anyway, I want you to notice that this woman, she impressed God more than anyone else. You see, sometimes the gift is something that God impresses. There's been people that give very sacrificial to God throughout the Bible. Abraham with Isaac, different ones. Hannah with Samuel and different ones. We could go down. Very treasured gifts. Mary with the ointment when she broke it. But there's four things, four virtues of giving that you need to understand. One is you have to have self-denial. There are certain things that you have to be willing to deny yourself. Now here, she put two mites in. They were two little copper coins. I meant to bring them one night to show you. Maxine gave me some coins one time. And I had a mite, the widow's mite, and I wanted to bring it tonight, and I laid it out and walked right off and forgot it in my old age. But anyway, it was about 1/64th of a day's wage. If you want to value it in coinage that you have, it's probably about a fourth of a penny. That's how much these two mites amounted to. You put those two mites in, about a fourth of a penny, and this woman come along, and that's what she did. Now, when she did it, it impressed Jesus. He saw what she did. And he knew why she did it. And she did it because she was she denied herself of certain things. Now, you've got to understand, a widow during these days had it very rough. That's why a lot of times God in the New Testament church was responsible to take care of widows when they didn't have family to take care of them. But a widow had to be a widow indeed. She had to meet certain qualifications, and if she met certain qualifications, then she could be underneath the care of the church. Now, and so when you read that in 1 Timothy chapter 5, you'll find there's qualifications to be a widow indeed. But if she had family members, the family members was responsible to take care of her. But they didn't have Social Security, they didn't have welfare, and a widow had a very tough time. They usually lived from hand to mouth. This widow was very poor. Jesus mentioned that she was a poor woman. But here she come, and she put the two mites in the treasury, and she did that denying herself, but she also must have had some history with God that she knew that God would take care of her. The one thing that God promises in the tithe, if you give it for the right reason, and by the way, God does not run a Las Vegas. He does not run a casino. It's not a slot machine. You don't put the money in, and all these charismatic guys out here saying, sow a seed to me, and God's going to give you all this money back. That's not what God does. But what God promises is this, that when you bring your tithes and offerings in, that he opens up the windows of heaven and he pours out blessings. And he's able at times, and he's able ways to bless us. Sometimes those blessings come in different ways. Sometimes I've had lawnmowers that's lasted 21, 22 years. You know what? I see that as a blessing of God. I see that, you know, I didn't have to replace that, and God's made that thing last for a long time. But now look here. Also, not only was it self-denial that she was doing, but it was faith. She believed in what God had said. When we bring our tithes and offerings in, it's because of faith. We need to understand that there are some things that we have to deny. I've told Chris, and she'll tell you, for 30-some years, close to 40 years, I guess, 30-some years, we've paid tithes and offerings. We've gave those tithes and offerings. And to my knowledge, in that time, we've not missed any. If we have, we made it up. When we miss church here and not happen to be here on Sunday morning, we either pay double when we're here, or we give somebody to put it in when we're gone. My point is this, that we have determined that that will be given. That's part of it. But I will tell you this, and she can tell you too, and our kids can tell you, God's blessed us tremendously. And to be honest with you, there's a whole lot we could do without. And today, if we lost everything we had, I'd still have to say God's been good to us, and we got more than we deserve. My point is this, it's sold sometimes as a gimmick to get rich. That is not what it's about. It's not only self-denial that you have to deny yourself of some things to be willing to do that, but you also have to have faith in what God says. You have to believe. You have to understand that it honors God when we give our tithes and offerings to God. Not only that, but it's an act of love. When Mary said, and she took the ointment in John chapter 12, and she poured it over the feet of Jesus, and Judas was the first one who spoke up. He said, well, we could have sold that for 300 pence and gave it to the poor. He wasn't worried about the poor. I was watching a bunch of these clowns that I'm talking about, these high dollar, multi-million dollars. I think I saw where T.J. Jakes or whatever his name is, I don't even know his name. I noticed where he was worth $150 million. I was noticing where another guy was worth $150.5 million. The poorest one was worth $15 million. Now imagine that. And every one of them gets on there and begs like they're broke, and they beg you and they tell you that you need to give sacrificial and you need to give this and give that. And then they take the money and they splunge it on these lifestyles. It's just exorbitant. Well, I'm going to tell you something. They'll get theirs in the day to come. God will reckon those. He'll even that out. But that's not what God tells you to do. I remember one time I visited this one woman. I'll tell you this before I close with this. I visited this one woman in Fallbush. I may have told you before. And she wrote $100 when she got her check at the first of the month. She's a widow woman. She wrote $100 to 13 different TV evangelists. But you couldn't get her to come to church. But she gave $100 and they'd send her all these letters and makes her all these promises. She died. But it's because of love. This woman gave because she loved the Lord. When you give something to God, you give it because you love Him. You give it out of love. The Bible says you don't give grudgingly. Somebody said, that's all our preacher. I knew one preacher from North Carolina. He wrote a bunch of books. I never heard him preach that he didn't preach on tithing. He's the one, somebody told me, that's the one I think Brother Sisson was talking about. Or I know it was Brother from Glasgow, Brother Prophet, that mowed his yard in a suit. And everything he's got, he talks about tithing, 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 tithing. I don't think you have to beat it into people. I think people's got to want to give and they got to love. They got to give it out of love. The last thing is this. The virtue, you have to be self-denial. You have to have faith. You have to have love. And the fourth thing in giving and giving right to the Lord, as this woman did, you have to have secrecy. These rich people was clanging the bottom of that jug, I'm sure, and looking around proud. But Jesus said that this poor widow woman had gave more than all the rest. All of them. Because she gave out of her needs. They gave out of their abundance. What they dropped in there meant nothing. But what she dropped in there meant something. But the Bible says that not let the left hand, right hand know what the left hand does. I've known some people that used to have a visiting evangelist. Never drop it in the plate. They'd always have to hand it to them so they know exactly where it come from. That's not the way God wants us to give. He don't want, and I've seen some people said, well, I want to stand up and I want to praise this one. And I've seen some of them, they get money men. And you know what they remind me of? They remind me of these women that get sugar daddies. Some of these preachers get their sugar daddies. And they'll get their sugar daddies up here in front of everybody and they'll praise them, they'll lift them up and they'll exalt them up just so they'll give them a little more and rattle them a few more checks. But the truth of the matter is, the Bible says that they're to do it secretly. Just give it in there. You got something you want to give the Lord, just put it in there. Between you and God. And guess what? This woman, this widow may not have known that Jesus ever said anything to those disciples. But you know what? We're still preaching about her today. You know why? Because Jesus took note. She didn't put it in there to be seen. She put it in there because she loved the Lord. She did it secretly. She did it privately. And that's the way it is. And Brother Junior will tell you, I've never one time ever went and asked him what any person here has ever given, have a Brother Junior. Never. It's not something I've asked. It's not something I'm needed. I don't need to know. I don't ask him who tithes and who doesn't tithe. I don't ask him what anybody gives. I don't take it as my concern. I want to preach about it. I want to teach about it. I want you to do it. I want you to do it for you. I want you to do it for the right reason. But I want you to do it to honor God, not to honor yourself. And when you do that, then you'll find out the value of giving to the Lord like this. It's got to be self-denial. At times, it's got to be... Sometimes you say, well, I can't do without these things to do this. That's part of the self-denial. It's got to have faith. You got to believe God take care of your needs. You got to have love, and it ought to be done in secrecy. This widow woman, she found the secret of that when she put in, and God recognized her gift more than anybody else's gift that day as more valuable than all the rest. Because it's amazing. Now listen to me, and we'll sing a song. What I found is this. This little church don't have much. Brother Rick, tell you, we don't keep a lot in the bank. I've known churches that right now they got $40,000, $50,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000. My question with those churches is this. Who gets it if Jesus comes back? What are you doing with it? Somebody told me one time, said, well, I think we ought to have enough that we can buy what we want to and just save. I don't think that's God's plan for the church. But what I found is this. I found it's amazing that every time we've needed something, that we really need something, God's provided it. We've taken up an offering and somebody, and we've got enough money to do it, and we find, and God has a way of working it out. But He does it because when we are faithful, and then when we come up with something we need to do, like this insurance, I don't know what we're going to run into with that. But we just have to trust God to work it out for us. And God's always made a way each and every time. And so tonight I wanted to share with you, it's not a money issue. It's a love issue. And I want you to understand it's a faith issue. And I want you to understand that it's an issue that God does take note of. Because He sat there and He watched. And He had a reason for doing that. And He wanted to teach because the other people that was taking advantage of it. And so tonight, just want to share that with you. And I don't know why. God just kind of laid it up on my heart and took me to this place when I was getting ready and studying for tonight. And maybe God spoke to you in some way in this. As we stand, get a song of invitation, Brother Porter. Page 23.